Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Solving these kinds of issues has been a council. It goes back to the apostles. you look at chapter 15 in the Acts of the Apostles, you see that the apostles themselves, whenever disputes arose about religious practices, they didn't just sort of make off-the-cuff decisions and go with it. They actually gathered together in a council, the apostles in council, and determined how these things should be approached. And from that time forward, that was how the church dealt with these difficult issues in council. Even, it's really interesting, if you look at the time period before Nicaea, before the 4th century, when the church was heavily persecuted by the Roman pagans, still they found ways to gather together in council. The bishops from provinces would get together and discuss these issues in council and would issue these decrees and settle these issues for the church. So this is an ancient practice which was not stopped even by the persecutions of the Romans. So in 325, the issue that had arisen was brought up by a priest, talk about clergy departing from the faith, a priest in the city of Alexandria in Egypt whose name was Arius, who began to teach somewhere around the year 315 that the Son of God is not equal to God the Father. He began to teach that the Son of God, if we call him God sort of by as a title of honor, but it's not something that is intrinsic in him. It's not something essential to him. And he said that he is not equal to the Father. He is not of one essence with the Father. He is a creature that was made by the Father. And he would say that he is the highest and most exalted of all creatures made by the Father, but he himself is nevertheless a creature. And this teaching, Arius was first of all an extremely intelligent man, and second of all, he was very eloquent. He could speak very well, and he persuaded quite a few people. And so in the 10 years intervening from the year 315, when he began to teach this in Alexandria, until the year 325, whenever the council was convened in Nicaea, in that 10-year period, the teaching of Arius had spread throughout the church, throughout the known world. And it was causing a great deal of trouble. And so the fathers of the council were gathered together in the city of Nicaea in the year 325. And of those that gathered there, only a few of them actually had agreed with Arius. All the rest of them came together. And I think this is one of the most amazing miracles that we see in the history of the church. All of the rest of them came together, and they proclaimed with one faith what we now call the Orthodox faith. They came from all parts of the Roman Empire. They came from as far away as Spain and the Middle East and from Italy and from Greece and from other parts of Egypt. And now keep in mind, these are people who had been persecuted for 300 years. And they had been limited in what they could do and what they could teach. They had to be very secretive about everything. And yet the great miracle is that they all came together from these far-flung ends of the empire, and with one mouth they said, what Arius is saying is not what we received from the apostles. And their argument was based on their traditions. What was it that the apostles taught? What did the apostles teach to the bishops that they appointed in the see that I am from? And what did those bishops teach to their successors? And what did they teach to their successors? And what's been passed down through the centuries from the apostles? You see, Arius was an extremely intelligent man, but all he had was intelligence. The bishops of the church are also intelligent men, but they also have the scriptures and the tradition. And that was what carried the day at the Council of Nicaea. So that's sort of the background of the Council of Nicaea. To get back to the central issue that Arius was teaching, that the Word of God, the Son of God, is not equal to God the Father, the question we might ask ourselves is, why does that matter? Why does it matter what we believe about Jesus Christ? Well, there's an ancient saying from the Church Fathers. I believe it's attributed to Gregory of Nyssa, but I could be wrong on that. But his saying has been pretty much taken up by all of the Fathers, particularly since Nicaea. And the saying is this, that what has not been assumed has not been healed. What has not been assumed has not been healed. It's a proclamation of the incarnation, can say that the eternal Word of God, according to the teaching of St. John the theologian, whose gospel we're reading today, the eternal Word of God took on flesh, became a human being, and lived among us. And he took upon himself the totality of humanity except for sin. He took on a human body, took on a human soul, took on a human will. Everything that it means to be a human being, the Word of God took it on himself and became a complete, total human being. He was both fully God and fully man. And that union of the divinity and the humanity is what affects our redemption. And Christ taking on flesh, the Word of God taking on flesh, living among us, teaching his apostles concerning himself, being betrayed and crucified and dying, he then rises from the dead, still bearing the flesh that he took from the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he appears to his disciples, as St. Luke tells us at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, and he shows them through many infallible proofs that he was truly risen from the dead. Through many infallible proofs that he appeared to them. He said, "Here, touch my hands. Look at the print of the nail on my hands. Give me something to eat. I will eat and show you that I am not a ghost, I am not an apparition. I am truly the one that you saw crucified and that you buried in the tomb, and I am risen from the dead." He showed that to his disciples, proving to them that he is both completely God and completely man, and that he has power even over death itself. And appearing to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, on the 40th day he ascended into the heavens. And he ascends into the heavens wearing his flesh. He doesn't leave his flesh behind and say, "Okay, now I'm going back to the purely spiritual realm, and I'm not going to need this anymore." He ascends bodily from his disciples, still wearing the flesh that he took from the womb of the Virgin Mary, that he has used to conquer death, and that he has transfigured by uniting to his incorruptible divinity. And in that flesh, he ascends into the heavens. And right now, there is one who shares our nature, a human being, enthroned in the heart of the Holy Trinity. So, this brings us back to the saying that what has not been assumed has not been healed. Because what does it mean that the Word of God took on flesh and dwelt among us? It means that God has utterly and completely united his divinity with our humanity. Completely. And so the danger of something like the teaching of Arius, and this is what Bishop Ozias of Cordoba, Spain, told the Emperor Constantine. The Emperor Constantine sent him to go explore, to go to Alexandria, find out what's going on there. Who's teaching this? What's wrong with it? Why should we care? And Bishop Ozias of Cordoba came back to the emperor and said, "The teaching of Arius subverts the entirety of Christianity. It utterly destroys the gospel." Because what's the gospel? That God has redeemed us. That we who were enslaved to sin, who were powerless over death, who were returning to corruption, who were completely within the power of the enemy, and were unable to do anything about it, God himself came down and rectifies the situation. God himself comes down and he unites himself to us, and through being completely human, undoes the curse and makes it possible for us to re-enter paradise. And that's only possible if the eternal Word of God takes on flesh and becomes a human being. If we say the things that Arius was saying, that Christ is a creature, a high and exalted creature, then at what point does the human race ever come into contact with God? Never. There is still an unbridgeable gap between us and God if we follow the teaching of Arius. And the fathers of the Council of Nicaea gathered together using the scriptures and the tradition, and they said, "No, this is not what we've been taught, this is not what we've received, this is not what the apostles established in our various local dioceses and areas. What we have received, what we have been taught, is that the eternal Word of God took on flesh and dwelt among us. And he has redeemed us with his own flesh. And he has ascended with his own flesh. And according to the witness of angels, he will return in his flesh to judge the living and the dead. This is the Orthodox Christian faith. This is what we have kept and proclaimed from the beginning, from the time of the apostles, even until the present day. And this is what it is our task to be faithful and to keep and pass on to the next generation, to as many as will receive it, so that the Lord, when he returns, will also find faith on the earth. To him be all glory, honor, and worship from the ages of ages. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is where shall be.